Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host, Carrie Fry.
We're a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real-life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So, if you've been listening to us over the past few weeks, you have probably heard us talk about our couples marriage retreat that's coming up actually next week. And also you probably have heard us talking about Crossroads Counseling, which is our private practice here in Phoenix and in Scottsdale. I just want to talk a little bit about Crossroads and how that came to be. So back in 2006, I really had the desire and passion, and I think even a calling from God to start a practice that is focused on Christian values and beliefs that can really help people who are needing psychological help or mental health counseling, or even just like marriage counseling, family counseling, those who are just really struggling in their families, their relationships. And so I started Crossroads with the mission to bring the hope and healing through the power, love, truth, and grace of Jesus Christ. And like I said, I founded this in 2006, and back in the early days, it was just me in a very small office. I don't know if you remember this, Carrie, but my very first office was, I think, in a realtor's building.
Yeah, it was tiny. It was like a closet.
Yeah, it was like a little closet.
It was you and a little, I think, IKEA couch.
Yeah, we went to IKEA. We bought like the cheapest furniture that we could find. doing this on a shoestring budget, all those kind of things. But you know, it was just me in this little office. People had to walk past the realtor, which probably wasn't the very best. I had to walk past the realtor and like come into my office. But you know, we started back in 2006, and since then, the practice has grown to have a location near Anthem, just actually northwest Phoenix, border of Phoenix and Anthem, and then also a second location in Scottsdale off the 101 in Raintree. And we've also grown from just being a solo practice into a group practice. And
Yay. Yeah,
it's very exciting. God's doing lots of cool things. Right now we have three therapists who are working in our practice. And we are so fortunate today to have one of those therapists joining us.
Yay.
And her name is Lauren, and she's an awesome person, a wonderful therapist, and I am so glad that I know her and that she is a part of Crossroads and everything that we do here.
Thanks for coming today, Lauren.
Travis and Carrie, thank you so much for having me. I feel honored to be here, and I just have to say, knowing you both professionally and personally, there are no two people better equipped for this position than connecting people than the two of you. So
really and truly.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, I was just thinking about us, and I'm not even sure, Lauren, how you came to, because you found me, right?
I
was doing no advertising for a therapist. And somehow, some way, you found me. And how did that whole thing play out? What happened there?
Well, God was always involved, of course. I mean, especially now looking back, I was working at an agency and getting some really interesting training in some EMDR work that we'll talk about in just a bit.
Cool.
And I was noticing that my clients were definitely getting symptom reduction and they were feeling better. And, but there was this piece missing. And it was that attachment piece. And I became very, very interested in that piece. And I remember where I was sitting when I was Googling attachment. And I see this Christian, you know, EFT therapist. And I noticed that you did supervision.
Right.
And I called you.
Yeah.
And I remember I wasn't even really looking for a job, but knew that I needed that extra piece in order to truly integrate this holistic approach with my clients. And
awesome.
We met from there, and I had both jobs for quite a while, and then segued into working at Crossroads exclusively, and am incredibly, you know, again, honored to work with you. So
yeah, I remember that first meeting where you came in, and you know, you came to the office, and I kind of remember you being a little starstruck, like, oh wow, this is so cool, like this is amazing, like, because you were working at a community type of agency.
I was.
And you know, to kind of come into a private practice, and you know, all the things that we were doing with emotionally focused therapy and attachment, and you know, offering this Christian perspective, I think that was something that, like you said, you were totally missing and didn't have.
Completely so, missing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I was really excited when I heard that you had hired Lauren and brought her on, because I heard about the EMDR before when I think it was my sister. She had gone through it, and she had lost a few friends in high school. I think one was a car accident, and one might have been suicide, but she had gone through a lot with these deaths when she was young.
A lot of trauma,
and knowing them very closely and having them gone, and she was suffering from that. And then that's what she ended up going to is someone that would do EMDR.
Oh,
so I had heard about it, but I didn't know much about it at the time. So I was really excited to be able to bring that part into counseling.
So we're using this term EMDR, and there's probably some people out there who don't even know what EMDR means.
Sure.
Let's talk about that, Lauren. Maybe you can explain what EMDR stands for, and maybe what that means, or maybe even how you got started in EMDR.
So again, back at the agency, I was actually told that I was going to get this training done, and you know, I was excited, but I didn't know much about it. I knew that lots of clinicians were saying how, you know, it's getting a lot of results, and clients were again having symptom reduction, but I didn't know what it was. And I was also reluctant. So EMDR actually stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's actually an integrative psychotherapeutic technique that is primarily meant to treat trauma and PTSD clients.
So PTSD is a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And that's a common diagnosis when people have gone through a traumatic event, much like your sister.
Right, just like your sister.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a loss of a friend. It can be a situation where a person has personally experienced a traumatic event, or they have been privy to watching someone else go through a traumatic event.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's really different types of trauma, and it's based on a continuum, if you will. So there's what we call in the EMDR world the big T traumas, which would be anything that the brain would see as potentially life-threatening. Mm. So that could be a car accident, our boys and girls coming home from war. That could be a rape. It could be anything where, again, the body doesn't know how to perceive that, and it's meant to keep you alive, right? Mm-hmm. So it perceives that as a potential threat. But then there's also what we call these small T traumas that all of us have been through.
Right.
So that could be bullying. That could be light neglect, right? That could be a divorce, not feeling love, exclusion from peers. And we're knowing now that a lot of little T traumas can begin to become a big T trauma into full-blown post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And, you know, just by virtue of being a human being, we're all going to experience these things. But the person who is going to need some kind of therapy is the person who is stuck in that belief system of, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, and it's preventing them from living the life that they were intended to live, that God is wanting them to live.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you talked about big T traumas, which are maybe some of the classical type of events that people would think of, war, or, you know, maybe someone's breaking into your home and threatening you, or like a rape. But there's also these little T traumas that you're expressing. And you said that those little T traumas can sometimes, is it that they add up? Like if you have several little T traumas, that they can add up and kind of turn into a big T trauma?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Is it that if you don't deal with some of those little T traumas, like maybe some family of origin issues, like you mentioned neglect, not feeling loved and secure within your family, if you don't deal with those things, is it possible for those little T traumas to kind of later on in life become more traumatic?
I see that all the time. Yeah. I see that all the time. You know, and we think about being young, and we don't have the ability to sometimes decide what's actually going on. So we make our own assumptions of what's going on. So
right.
I often give the example of a little boy sleeping in bed at night, and maybe he overhears his parents fighting, and maybe they've been drinking, and he begins to go to sleep at night thinking, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough. And, you know, the three of us sitting here today can say that, no, honey, there's no correlation
right,
there.
Right, no connection.
No connection. But in that little mind, we begin to believe that, you know what, maybe I'm not good enough. And then
right.
we continually get this feedback over and over again. And then I have people in my office at 30 and say, why can't I let that go?
Right.
And what happens is the brain becomes hardwired to begin to believe these things that
right.
are inaccurate and so far away from your true potential.
Right.
Yeah. So is that the symptom then? What are kind of, what happens to someone who has trauma or PTSD? What kind of things will help us to know that that's something that we're dealing with?
Yeah, so good question. Most of the time, all the time, our body is routinely managing new information and experiences, and we're not even aware of that happening. But when something traumatic begins to happen to us, we become overloaded. So the brain is left in this unprocessed mode.
Okay.
Now, these unprocessed memories are stored in the limbic part of the brain, in kind of its raw emotional form rather than in a processed form. So even though, again, the event could have happened years ago, we're still left with the thoughts, the sensations, and the feelings if it's happening now.
Okay.
And so EMDR begins to create that connection between the brain's memory network, enabling your brain to begin to process these events in a natural way instead of perhaps by default when you're younger and not able to cognitively understand all of the whole perspective.
Right.
Wow. So what is it about EMDR that is helping people to connect and to reprocess changing that
just
memory
kind of,
and correcting and
yeah. So the jury's still out on that.
Okay.
Now Francine Shapiro, who came up with EMDR some 20 years ago by accident, she believes, and this is kind of where I'm at as well, too, that it happens in that REM sleep when we are sleeping in bed at night.
That's rapid eye movement, right?
Yes, the rapid eye movement. So now take that little boy again who just hears this information, and he's sleeping in bed at night.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm blowing up the story for an example here, but imagine that his eyes now are moving back and forth. We are starting to believe that that's when we are processing and programming who we are. I'm good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm lovable. I'm not lovable. I'm safe. I'm not safe.
Okay.
And so this happens over and over again. Then we begin to believe that that's true. Now, in the EMDR world, what we're doing is, and I say this with only a few minutes to explain it, but it really is an 8-stage, 3-pronged approach. So this will be the Cliff Note version.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we have the client come in and we assess what the disturbing situation is, or the disturbing, what we call negative cognition is. And what we'll do is we'll get a history, and they'll be able to give me an image. So I was laying in bed and I was hearing my parents fighting. And then after we get that image, we begin to have them bring up that, and they will begin to remember that. You know, we can all begin to remember certain things that have happened to us and recreate that feeling just by thought alone.
So it's like they are reflecting on the memory, but they're experiencing it as they're actually like back in that memory. Is that
back in that memory, right? Because every thought that we think begins to create a chemical. Mm-hmm. And just by thought alone, we can easily, any of us, sit here and remember a negative experience in our life and begin to actually feel that way.
Yeah. Right. There's an emotion connected to that history or that thought or that experience. And a lot of times, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times one of the most powerful emotions is a sense of like fear and helplessness or hopelessness.
Absolutely.
Right.
That disconnection again, right? From others.
And, exactly.
Yeah. And so what we do is we, in the office, and we have already decided what they would prefer to believe. Mm-hmm. Now we take them back almost in that REM state where they're moving the eyes back and forth, and they are beginning to now say, maybe they want to go from I am not safe to I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I am safe.
Right.
And they begin to do that through this rapid eye movement.
And then that's with a machine, right? There's a light that goes back and forth.
So,
is that right?
Typically, I mean, the way we were trained was with our fingers, moving them back and forth rapidly. And some gentleman in Colorado developed a light bar, which is what I have.
Okay.
And that's what I use for my clients. But it can be done either way. It's basically the bilaterals, the movement of the back and forth of the two hemispheres of the brain.
Right, the connecting the brain and okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you're just tuning in and you are listening to The Connected Life with Travis and Carrie Fry on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. So to learn more about The Connected Life, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Connected Life Radio. And if you're looking for counseling help, visit CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com. And right now we're talking to Lauren Jack, who's a therapist with Crossroads and has been working with us through EMDR. Lots of letters in this one.
Yeah, that's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. That's why we say EMDR, because it's a mouthful,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It is a mouthful.
So Lauren, who would benefit most from EMDR?
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we're finding, of course, people who have post-traumatic stress, any kind of trauma, we're finding it is beneficial. And, you know, people with anxiety, depression, sleep apnea, we're finding that in just a few sessions, phantom limb pain can begin to be gone.
What's that? What's phantom limb pain?
So where we begin to have this pain in our body and we're not really sure where it's coming from, right? And so, but it's there and it's real for the person, but there's no medical diagnosis for it.
So is that like an emotional, physical, physiological kind of connection?
So there's a lot involved with what we're thinking about, what we're feeling, and this mind-body connection. So, we're starting to see that a lot of this pain that we're getting, a lot of these, even, you know, some diseases are built in the inaccurate thinking when we move away from our thoughts of the truth of who we are and who God has intended us to be. Mm-hmm. And we get caught, and sometimes by accident, in this faulty wiring. Mm-hmm. And so
I love that you said that, because I think remembering who God calls us to be and remembering how God sees us, I think, is so huge. Because you talked a lot about, a lot of times people get to that point where they don't feel worthy, they don't feel loved, they feel inadequate, and holding on to that truth and that promise that the way that God sees us is that we are valuable,
right?
And we are precious. In fact, He loves us so much that He's done everything just to know us and be in relationship with us. So I really love that you brought that piece out.
Absolutely.
I just think it's kind of cool the way, God created us in a way. And you can, I think that they're in time, and I think when it comes to trauma, you can have that knowledge in your head that God loves me and I know, you know, that I'm valuable and all that kind of thing. But when you've got that emotion that's not connected, and I think that's where EMDR is so valuable, where it helps you do that connection.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm very aware that there is no healing done outside of God.
Right.
But, you know, this is one other tool to begin to help to remove some of those negative cognitions, those negative thinking, so that we can connect more into His Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how God kind of created our brains, right? And kind of the process of I don't know the science behind it. Obviously,
design.
you're the expert, but the left and right hemispheres. And, I think that through observation, Francine Shapiro has really been able to understand how this whole process works, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hear so much about the connecting of the hemispheres just through homeschooling, because we've been homeschooling for the last, you know, how many years now? My goodness. Well, I guess 11, because our oldest son is 11. So, you know, he's born and we started homeschooling. So, but there's so much on connecting that the two hemispheres, just for writing competency and for just behavior help and all that, and learning and reading, that, and I think sometimes I've heard people saying, like, if you're doing a lot of TV and screen work, there's a lot of things like that that can make it more difficult to connect those hemispheres. And so I think at this point, it's great to have any tool you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, too, that, you know, people who call me and set up an appointment, they, like yourself, they know of somebody who has done EMDR and the success has been great. And I have to say, I was a huge skeptic until I saw all the results with my clients and the symptom reduction and how it would be gone for not just a couple of weeks, but, you know, and there'd be layers of it, and they would begin to feel and heal better. But for someone maybe that's listening and hearing about this EMDR and moving your eyes, I really encourage them to go on the EMDR website or even on our website and just get new, you know, get update yourself with some information, because it seems a little silly, but it's really a powerful tool.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, chiming bells or something that's kind of off the wall. It is, you know, it's been scientifically proven, right?
There's over 19 clinical studies that show that EMDR is an incredibly powerful tool for cognitive behavioral therapy for the PTSD.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I just think that there's so many people that can benefit from it. I have my kids, we have a autoimmune disease in the family. And so my oldest son for sure has something called PANDAS. And I think that, you know, just being on support groups and knowing people, it's kind of related to autism in some ways. So you hear different families that the trauma that just having a child who's going through different problems, and the child going through trauma and the parents having to watch it and not having any power.
That is trauma.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's huge. And so there's so many parents out there. I think moms and dads sometimes, but whole families that are affected by trauma that could be really beneficial to get counseling and those kinds of things.
And one neat thing that everyone loves about this therapy is that we do go back to the original issue that was disturbing, highly disturbing, but we don't need to go back and relive everything that's happened in your childhood. I know a lot of people shy away from counseling because of that. And it's really about grabbing that negative belief system and healing it so that we can begin to, you know, if you can free yourself and live the life you were intended to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if someone is interested in EMDR and working with Lauren Jack, we want to let you know that the way you can get in touch with her is to go to our website, which is counselingphoenixscottsdale.com, or you can call us at 623-680-3486. That's 623-680-3486. On our website, Lauren has her own page, and there's also a page there that's specifically designated for EMDR and trauma. So you can definitely read more and learn more. And of course, Lauren would love to speak with you. If you have any further questions, you could always call, and we offer a free 20-minute phone consultation where she would be open to talking with you.
That's right.
Yeah. So
thank you both.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show
Absolutely.
With us. It was great to have you here.
We're going to have you
back. Awesome. Nothing to be afraid of, right?
No, it was great. You both are so
absolutely.
Harmless. Thank you.
Yay.
Take us out, babe.
Okay. So to connect with The Connected Life Radio, or to contact us, you can visit us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page that is www.facebook.com, The Connected Life Radio. And you can call us at 623 680-3486. That's you reach Crossroads Counseling Center, and it's Phoenix, CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com on the web.
And thank you for joining us today. And as always, stay connected, Arizona.